Good evening, one and all. Halfway through another week, and here we are with another book and a chat on New Visions Radio with me, your host Barry. Well, I'm here, and so is my guest here. Now, one of the infuriating things, in a way, is when you sort of just get into a real good dream, or you remember a bit of a dream, and then you wake up. You know, and you, what happened? You try your best to get back into that dream. You try, and sometimes it leaves you trying to think what the heck was going on. Well, my guest, she can help us with that. She is, what can I tell you about her? An international best-selling author of 11 books, an award-winning dreams expert, an interfaith minister, a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a practitioner of religious science, an inspirational speaker, a workshop facilitator, and goes on and on and on. She's not only been there, done it, she's got the t-shirts as well. But I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Dr. Kelly Sullivan Walden, aka Dr. Dream. Hi, Kelly, how are you?
Hello, Barry. It's so nice to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on A Book and a Chat.
It's my pleasure. Lovely. My pleasure. It's great to have you on the show. I mean, let's face it, after all, you know, we come under the same list of people as, you know, Dr. Oz and Ricky Lake and lots of people like that who used your talents, if you like, to help them with their dreams.
Fun. But now that brings me to you. So this is the pinnacle.
This is it. This is what I said to Steve Berry when he comes on the show. I said, never mind all these other things. You come on this show. That's good enough. Yeah.
I can die now. No, I don't want to die.
Die in peace. No, you don't want to do that.
Right.
We'll get to that in a minute. But come a bit of a long way since a witch and a castle chasing you around a castle, haven't you?
Oh, nice. Oh, you did your research, Barry. Yeah. I'm like, how did you know that? Oh, wait a second. I put that out somewhere. Yeah, that was my first remembered dream. You're right. That was terrifying. I can still remember all the details, but just like I like to say, a nightmare is a terrible thing to waste because we can learn a lot about ourselves in those nightmares, and we can learn how to redirect them, which is the work that I teach these days.
That's interesting because, I mean, I know you sort of shared a room with your sister and you talked about this sort of thing, dreamscapes and stuff like that. But when did you, you know, you had that dream, but did you start sort of realizing that this was almost like messages?
Oh, yeah. When did I realize it was a message? I mean, I know that my sister and I, we were very young. Like, she's a year and a half younger than me. So I was about maybe 7 and she was about 5 when we would talk about the dreams. And it would just take on this, like, we were like little kids that were just like, oh my God, this is the most fascinating thing. Like, we had just stumbled upon a treasure chest. But mostly we, you know, didn't know that it had much value outside of ourselves, except it was really interesting and fun. But I think when I got into school and started dealing with mean girls and a lot of haters and bad cookery reports. Bad cookery? I don't know about that.
Didn't you get a D or something?
Oh my God. You're right. In my cooking class, I got a D. I got a D in cooking, the easy A, and I got a D because I was like, nope. Oh my God, Gary, you are so good reading your research. God, nobody else ever does that. That's so good. You're shocking me. But yeah, I refuse to cook. I mean, I think I performed well in school when the teachers were nice and when they were respectful. But when they treated me with an attitude that I just said, I'll show you. I'm just not going to do the work.
Did your fellow classmates talk? I mean, I know you're sort of a junior school there. Did you ever sort of talk about stuff and you tried to help them at sort of that age?
Yes,
even?
Exactly. So when I wasn't in cooking class, whenever else people would tell me their deepest, darkest secrets and their dreams. And we would, And I mean, it was kind of one of those things that I would often hear. I've never told this to anybody before. This is the first time I'm ever telling anybody. And I always felt deeply honored whenever I would hear that. And I heard it so many times. And it, I think partly, I get it from my mom. My mom was just the great listener. She was like the one that all the women, all the ladies in the neighborhood would come over and spill their guts to her. And my mom would, they would smoke their cigarettes and drink their Tab colas, and they would spill their guts to my mom. And my mom was a great listener. So I think I got some of that from her.
Interesting, because perhaps she, without knowing about the dream stuff, she, the interpretation, if you like, you know, she had that, and it's just slightly come out in a different format with yourself.
Right. I think the dreams were part of what I was doing with my sister, but what my mom was doing was actually counseling people. And interestingly, Barry, I've never put these two things together until this very moment. I mean, the dreams, because everybody always asks just about the dreams, but the counseling part, I think I really did get from my mom. So I was kind of in a marinade of that growing up, and ultimately leading me to here and now, and the work I've been doing for the last 25 years is counseling people and helping them to flesh out their dreams and shine a light on the wisdom of their dreams and how their dreams are actually the wise ones. So that I kind of take myself out of the equation. I'm just a translator, really. But I want people to be empowered when they do look at their dreams. I don't want them to look at me and say, oh, Kelly knows so much. I want them to look at themselves and say, wow, my dreams are so intelligent. Look at what, my God, I can't believe it. And some, you know, most people just throw their dreams away.
Right.
But I like to catch people and say, don't do that. Your dreams are
so
wise.
More like a guide. You're more like a guide to people to direct them down the path of understanding of what they're actually got within themselves.
Exactly. I mean, I think I accidentally sort of let some people put me on a pedestal at some point, but we all know what happens when down that road, like what comes up must come down.
Right.
So I don't think anybody belongs on a pedestal, honestly. And whatever we, this is one thing we can learn about dreams is from a dream perspective. When we look at our dreams, we look at every person, everything in the dream is an aspect of ourselves. So even when we're not dreaming in the nighttime kind of way, in our waking life, which is also a dream, I think we look at people and we can project, oh, that person's brilliant, or that person's a jerk, and hello, we're looking in the mirror at all times.
Yeah.
So the wisdom, we always get to point the fingers back to ourselves.
Well, that's what they say, isn't it? When you point at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you, sort of thing.
It's so true. It couldn't be truer.
Yeah.
So I think that's one tip for how to interpret dreams. Just ask yourself, what part of me is all of this?
Did you have? Yeah. To how can I say this? to get people to understand and take you seriously. I mean, that must have been the hardest thing to people to actually take you seriously.
Ooh, that's interesting. Well, I don't, I think as, I mean, I'm blonde, blue eyes, I've got big boobs, so I think I've always had to fight.
Yeah, so you're Dolly Parton in another life, I know, yeah.
Exactly, I'm like, okay, all right, I know what you're thinking, but here's the deal. So I've had to compensate in many ways. I've written a lot of books, and in some way, I remember I got so, because I'm very spiritually oriented, but I really have been challenged to, I don't want to just preach to the choir. I want to take it to the streets. I want to take dream work to people that aren't necessarily thinking about it and introduce it there. So I think I've tried to make myself as down to earth and accessible as possible so that dreams become something that we can all pay attention to. And I don't want people to just look at me and say, oh, she's just a California tree hugging freak. I try really hard to make it simple and accessible for people so that people can, I mean, this is something that we're doing for one third of our lives. And for most people, it's just kind of a wash, but it's full of gold, greater than what we could learn from any great psychic or any life coach. Our own dreams have all the guidance and insight we need.
Now, as I said at the beginning, you know, I very rarely I very rarely remember dreams. I mean, we all dream. We know this when they do these surveys of people with the eye, whatever it is, and oh, that person's dreaming it. And I very rarely, unless it's just as I'm waking sort of thing, whatever you're going through then. But you get other people who dream and remember their dreams all through the night. Especially some people get these repetitive dreams, or so you hear about it. Is it within the person, or is it the strength of what's trying to be taught to the people or told the people? What's the sort of variant about
Right.
it?
I think there just like with singing, in some way we can all sing, but we're not all going to be opera singers. We're not all going to be like what Mariah Carey, but we can all do it to a certain degree. So we just have to work with what we've got. We all dream 3 to 9 dreams every night, and even if we just wake up with the slightest little whiff of a dream, we can do something with that. That's we can use that. That's so even if you have just something that feels like it's fleeting, it's in the fog, grab whatever piece you
That's
can
the
get.
hardest thing,
Because
isn't
some
it? You try and grab it, you try and go, you
Yes.
pretend to go back to sleep. I want to go, where was I? It's hard to grab the
Right.
thing.
But here's the sneaky trick. If you write something down, if you get in the habit of just writing down your first thoughts upon awakening, even if it's not a full-fledged dream, even if it's just some strange little teeny piece, just write that down. Because later, if you start to make a habit out of that, then at some point it will be a deeper, longer dream. It might not come in the first week. It might be a couple weeks later. It might even be a few weeks later. But when you get it, it's like that build it and they will come kind of a thing. If you build the practice of writing something down immediately, before you go to social media, before you look at the news, before you return a single email, you have to stay in the dream zone and just, you're always thinking something. So whatever your first thoughts are in the morning, they tend to be related to the dream. So even if you don't have that full fantastic dream, write down whatever is on your mind, and little by little, you'll start to build the muscle that really it's just building the habit of writing something down, and that eventually will be a more full-fledged dream.
A lot of authors, we've done what 1700 shows now, sort of thing.
Oh
And
my God! No!
I
That's amazing! Oh my
Thank
God!
you.
Congratulations!
Thank
That's
you. But there's a
incredible.
lot of authors
Woo!
along the way that come on and they literally keep pads and pens by their bed at night because they get ideas for dreams. And as I say, as I always say on the show, the characters in people's books, they lead them. You plot out a story as much as you can, but the characters come along and lead you down different paths. Minor characters want major roles. Some even demand their own books. And a lot of people, they keep a pen and pad by their bed at night because perhaps the characters talk to them or the idea develops, and they wake up and they literally, like you said, they write the stuff down so they don't forget it, and they go
Exactly.
back in. Perhaps, like you said, they do that, and then eventually it develops into the fact that the characters are telling them the story.
It's so true. And one of my, I mean, there's so many famous stories like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde came from a book, and even great songs and the Sympathy for the Devil and the song Yesterday and many other great works. Anyway, a friend of mine, Susie, had a dream of this woman with this great purple cape riding through a forest, but there was no context for who this woman was, what she was doing there. It was just this one snapshot that was so compelling that she knew she had to write about it. And once she started writing, it became a huge book. And it's what does she call it? It's The Adventures of King Lillian.
All
And it
right.
became this, it's this incredible book. Anyway, so all we need is a snippet.
That's it, just to get you going, just to get you going. And of course, you've, as you said at the beginning, or well, you told me before the show started, sort of, we'll say 11 books now, the reason you write books is because you enjoy talking, and when you write a book, you don't get interrupted.
It's a way to just be able to say everything I need and then just mic drop. Literally, just
That's
drop the mic,
it, yeah. I
drop
can
the
tell it
book.
by boom drop, yeah.
drop.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, when you first started, you got in the dreams, and the first book that you actually wrote about the stuff, that must have been a big push to finally say, okay, I know what's going on, I believe what's going on, I want to share what's going on, and then to actually put it in a book to share with a larger audience. That must have been quite a big thing for you.
Was, oh yeah, and that first book was, I always think of it as Big Bertha. It took a long time. It was a book. It's like, how am I going to squeeze this one out of me? Oh my God. But it was called Discover Your Inner Goddess Queen. And it was based on these women's empowerment gatherings I was having. The subtitle was an inspirational journey from drama queen to goddess queen. It was kind of a workbook with stories. And it took years to get that book out, but it felt like, and it's become like a spiritual practice. Some people, you know, I do meditate and I do some yoga and I do some things, but really every day when I write, it's like that Elvis Costello song, every day I write the book.
Yes.
Every day it keeps me connected to this greater world. Dreams get me connected to the other side while I'm sleeping, and it helps feed my waking life. But I feel like the feedback system is, as I have to keep downloading, I've got to write. I mean, it's kind of obsessive, but I do it also to stay sane.
Good.
So I think if I didn't write, I would be an unpleasant person.
Oh, your brain would be in constant turmoil because there's stuff there wanting to be shared, and you know, your talking's getting interrupted, so you wouldn't be able to.
Exactly. Oh, other people with their points of view.
Well, you've got a new book that came out in January. Crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Now, what does that explain to us?
The subtitle of that book is, the transformation, oh my God, now I have the other book on my mind. It's The Art of Transforming the Tragic into Magic. It's the first memoir I've written. It's like part memoir, part self-help. So at the end of every story, there's 30 chapters, and, you know, with the introduction, there's 31 stories of mine, and every one of those stories are like the skeletons that have been in my closet for oh so many years. And it's like I took each skeleton out and told the story of the skeleton, and in the process of telling the story, I noticed a theme of, oh my God, this is where I learned, in spite of having gone through being attacked by a dog or falling off a cliff or having a run-in with the mafia and running for my life and doing all kinds of crazy death-defying things that were not planned at all, just off, you know, some snafus and very embarrassing and kind of shame-ridden things that had happened to me. I noticed that these were also kind of X marks the spot, the very place where the wisdom that I draw upon came from. And there's that saying that Joseph Campbell has, it's where we stumble is where we find our treasure. And that's what I discovered in the process of writing this book. So some people say they're heart-wrenching stories. Some people say they're hilarious. Some people say it's a blend of hilarity and heart-wrenching, but ultimately with a message at the end and also a formula for how to transform anybody who's going through any difficulty, which is all of us, a process for how to move through the mud and get to the mountaintop way more quickly than we might otherwise if we just let time do its thing. It might take years when it really doesn't have to take that long.
Exactly. And yeah, people think, oh, all the experiences she's been on. But you're talking about a lady here, people, that has, as I said, been there, done it, and got the T-shirt. You know, near-death experiences. Had her life saved because her mother made her do her self-defense classes. You know, was in a group called Zuzu's Petals. Always makes me cry, that bit in the film. Always makes me
Oh,
cry.
you know that part. Oh, me too. Oh my God,
Yeah,
it's my
oh my
favorite.
God. Oh yeah, no, we always in England it's always on at Christmas. You know, it's a bit like the Great Escape over here. It's always
You're
on at Christmas, and we always used to sit and watch it,
good.
and I used to get to that bit with Susan's pedal, Susan's pedal. Oh, that's it. I couldn't, that's it. Tears flooding down my face. That was it.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you know that.
Oh,
Not
cracking.
everybody does. They're like, ah, what's that? Whatever, moving on.
Oh. But
That's
then
so much and
not
scary.
everybody's actually done shopping for the Dalai Lama before, have they?
Relatable. Isn't it relatable? Everyone's
Yes.
done a shopping spree.
Yeah. I mean, what did you do today? Well, I went, the Dalai Lama wanted me to get him some shopping, so I went to Bed Bath and Beyond. You went, what? Where?
Oh, exactly. Oh my God, Vera, you are hilarious. It's so true. That was like the craziest. That was crazy. My husband and I, with two monk friends, we get a call as we're driving down the road. Is there a Bed Bath and Beyond near here? Like, yeah, we just passed one. Have to go shopping for the Dalai Lama. And I'm like, what? Oh my God.
Did you ask for a
And yeah.
discount?
Actually, they did. I asked the woman, first of all, I said, I have this long list of things I need to buy for the Dalai Lama. And she looks at me like I'm having delusions of grandeur. And then all of a sudden, these two monks in saffron robes step out, standing to my right and to my left. And she says, are you serious? I said, as a heart attack. And she gets on our walkie-talkie. What out of 12? What out of 12? She calls on all the people in the store, and I end up with like all the salespeople helping me divide and conquer this very long list
Oh,
of
so
bathroom and
funny.
bed supplies for the Dalai Lama's new ashram, his bedroom and bathroom in the ashram, of course, as one does. And at the end, when we were checking out, we had three big basket loads of stuff. And the person behind the counter that was ringing us up said, if I gave you my 20% discount, would I get good karma? Of course. And the monk said, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, they
Ask if there
did.
was a
They
senior
totally
discount. That's even better. Staff discount.
the good karma discount for the Dalai Lama.
So
It
good.
was great. It
So,
was so
what sort
funny.
of, I mean, your book's been out a couple of months now. What sort of response have you had
Yeah.
to it?
Well, thank God. I mean, I was a little worried that it might be the end of me because, I think our ego tells ourselves that if they only knew what was in the closet, I would surely be shunned. I would be set on fire. I would be, sent to the center square of town and I would be torched or stoned to death. But what seems to be happening is that the reaction is shocking. People are coming out of the woodwork telling me how much it's touched them and how they're
Oh,
using
that's
my
great.
Ogle formula
Yeah.
to yeah and how they're using the formula to work on their own lives and their own
That is
issues
so good.
and yeah it's shocking. And I'm Taylor Swift just came out with a new song called The Anti-Hero. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's kind of like my theme song in this book because it's like me saying, it's me, it's me. Hi, the problem is me. This is my stuff. Instead of blaming it on everybody, I'm looking at myself and I'm finding
That's
my
wonderful.
own
That's
problems,
very
my own
good.
stuff. And then also, this is where the liberation comes from when we take radical self-responsibility. So it feels like it's luckily, I knock on wood, I haven't yet been shunned, but most of the people I know and love have read it, and even my parents. I thought, oh my God, they can't read this book, but they have, and I haven't. I don't know. They're buying it for their friends because
That's
they're proud
great.
of it.
That's great. The fact that you've been able to share your stuff with people now and people are actually reading it, enjoying it, learning from it, and passing it on, that's really good. Really good.
Well, it feels like it's taking the conversations into deeper territory, and I'm really realizing that it's what we all crave. We crave deep, juicy, soul-to-soul conversations, and that can't happen if we're just saying, "Oh, how are you? Fine, kiss, kiss, everything's lovely."
Oh, don't.
It's like, but to get real, and when we get real, then we give permission to each other to meet us in that place. At the beginning of the book, I open it up by saying, let's imagine that we're on a date and it's a first date, and you ask me, so tell me about yourself. And I tell you, well, thank you. Here
Yes.
you go. You asked. So
Yeah,
here's my
exactly.
nitty gritty
Once I've
shitty list.
started, you won't give me stuff.
Exactly. So if there's ever going to be a date after this, it's going to be based on you knowing who you're dealing with. And hopefully you'll share with me who you're dealing with instead of waiting until months or years later before you say, oh, by the way, I am a serial killer, or
Right.
I've done these things that you might, that you might not love. And
Right.
there's nothing worse than people falling. Like, I've had people say, I love you. And I know that they were saying, I love you, because they didn't have the whole story. And
Exactly, yeah.
there's nothing more empty
Well,
than that. And there's
we
also,
go ahead. I was just going to say, because I'm looking at the time starting to run out on us a bit.
Oh,
I know
oh my goodness.
we enjoyed it too much, but we've really enjoyed learning about you and learning about the books and everything like that. But what I'm going to do now is, Kelly, is actually hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find more about you and your books and everything else. So over to you.
You are so sweet, Barry. Well, now that you've turned it over to me,
There you go. We
I'm
won't
gonna do
stop you
something
now,
crazy. Okay, everybody, we're going rogue. Woo! Barry, Barry, Barry. Okay, wow. oh, the power. Oh, the power. Okay, let's see. If people want to find out more about, well, here's a couple of free things that I offer on my website that your audience might like. If you go to KellySullivanWalden.com, that's KellySullivanWalden.com. And if that's too hard to spell, you can go to IHadTheStrangestDream.com. And there you'll see a little pop-up, and you can put in your name and email address and receive a free Ogle worksheet. So if you're having a bad day, if anything happened that hurt your feelings, pissed you off, the Ogle worksheet is something you can work your stuff out in, so that by the time you're done with the worksheet, you're going to have an aha moment. You're going to have a change of heart and a new sense of empowerment. Also, on my website, I offer for free my Jet Set Dream Interpretation Formula. And out of the from the in a lifetime of doing dream work, this is a tiny little formula that really helps people to mine the gold from even the tiniest dreams and even the big dreams.
Right.
It's just a
Good.
really powerful formula. So I give those things away on KellySullivanWalden.com. If people want to order my book, A Crisis Is a Terrible Thing to Waste, they can buy it wherever books are sold. And if you want to buy a bunch of them for your friends, I have on my website and on the homepage, you'll see a picture of the book. Click on that, and you'll see where if you buy 10 books, there's a few different options of gifts that you get, including a free one-on-one hour session with me to talk about your crisis and how to transform it, or your dream. So, and I also have a trip to Costa Rica that's coming up, and dream workshops and dream work practitioner
That's great.
training.
Well,
And then
Kelly,
in social media, it's Kelly Sullivan Walden or Kelly S. Walden on all
great.
of the different
Well,
platforms.
Kelly, I say it's been great having you on your show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We could have carried on for a good another hour, I should think. And
At least.
I just thought it was a shame that you never actually married Elvis, but that's another story, isn't it?
Can you believe that?
I know.
Priscilla, oh my
All those
God,
dreams and you never
Barry.
managed it. Great. Anyway, good luck with the
Not in
book.
this lifetime.
Good luck with the book, and perhaps when the next one comes out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
I would love that, Barry. You have been a blast. Thank you so much. And
Thank you.
I wish you all the very best and sweet dreams. Don't take your dreams lying down. That's
Right.
my message for you.
Thank you. Well, there you go, my guest today, Kelly Sullivan Walden. Great stuff. Hope you enjoyed that. It was a really enjoyable and some great books out there by her. Check as you said, check her website out, Kelly Sullivan Walden, all together with the .com at the end, and that's it. I'll be back on Sunday, as always, with my music shows on Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Those were the days, and the theme is carpenter, woodwork. tools, stuff like that. And then after that, from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s. And then I'll be back next Tuesday and Wednesday with a couple of new guests. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say.